is the Tom Likas Show.
You're a goddamn genius. You are a goddamn genius.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in
Burbank. L-I-V-I-S.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. And that's premiumtom.com. This is a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We do it every Tuesday, around about 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And that's when we are joined by attorney Adam Sachs, who is here this week as criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Good to see you, Adam. What's going on?
Hey, Tom. What's going on?
I'm doing my thing over here.
I love it.
I understand you want to talk a bit about pot here.
You know, I was thinking about giving some equal time to the marijuana. I want to talk about
the, our boys love the pot. I want to tell you.
Well, you know, it's a very strange thing now. You have, I mean, I remember when I was growing up, this was the killer weed still, you know. And, you know, I had seen it around. I had some older relatives that smoked it or whatever. But it was illegal. I mean, it was still quite a big deal. And there was a big move at first to just decriminalize it, which still meant that it was illegal, but it was like, you know, it wasn't like this major a crime to be caught with it, particularly if you had a small amount and you weren't, you know, trying to sell it or distribute it or whatever. I don't know where it came from. I guess you just sort of woke up with it in your hand, but as long as you had a small amount, you were fairly okay in certain states. And then we had this movement, and California was one of the pioneering states, which it usually is, to make it be something particularly for people that are sick. We had, of course, the beginnings of, you know, health crisis with the AIDS crisis in particular. And there was a movie recently with Matthew McConaughey where they were talking about, it was on the Dallas Buyers Club?
Yes.
It's actually pretty good. And I think he won an Oscar for that one. But basically, the way that drugs were getting regulated and accepted originally by the FDA was, you know, to protect people. But it was a tremendously long process of testing and then finally getting to market after 10 or 12 or 14 years for a new drug. And what they showed in this, you know, film where people were trying to get anything, they were so desperate to get some kind of treatment for HIV and AIDS when it emerged, that a lot of these rules were changed. And in particular, there had been studies that the government had funded where they really wanted to show that marijuana was harmful in the ways that cigarettes were, that it caused cancer and so forth. And they did these studies at universities, and they actually found that marijuana actually slowed the growth of cancer, and they couldn't prove how harmful they wanted to prove it, and so they suppressed a lot of the findings and so forth, which is not very scientific. But ultimately, there was a recognition that marijuana could help people that had certain glaucoma and had pain and certain cancers, and you know, even HIV and so forth. And so we have this hybrid where in California, we have compassionate use. The places that sell it, which are retail stores and so forth, are thought to be nonprofit organizations and collectives and so forth, which is sort of bizarre in a way. And when you buy marijuana from them, unlike the marijuana of my childhood, which usually would come in a little Ziploc, it comes in a prescription bottle because, you know, they're selling you medicine, essentially, from this philosophy. And then you have the states that came after that have gone much further, such as Washington State and Colorado, where it's actually just legal. They just didn't want to bother with it. California, it's a bit of a joke in some ways because I believe, you know, you can go to specialty doctors that deal in this sort of thing, and you tell them that you have headaches and back pain and some other things, and they will give you a prescription to marijuana. And I think that some of the states, such as Colorado, just bypassed all that and said, the hell with it, let's just make it legal and you can just go buy it, which is you know, probably good for them in terms of generating tax revenue and so forth. I don't think that anyone ever really got addicted to marijuana, But now that it is so ubiquitous and it's everywhere, it really is. It's remarkable. I still have to say, and I lived my whole life, it's amazing to me that we have a black president. I never thought I'd see that. And someday we might have a woman president, even though I think Tom said never ever, but who knows.
Not in our lifetime.
Not in our lifetimes. I would have said that about a black president, by the way, but okay. And
if I knew that a woman was a possibility, uh-huh. then I would say the black president is more likely.
Okay. Well, it looks like Hillary Clinton is the Democratic front runner. But anyway, we'll see. What I have to say is that it's remarkable how far things have come with marijuana, where literally I'm just walking in a shopping center in a nice part of town, and there's a marijuana store like it's perfectly normal, and it doesn't mean anything. And people are coming in and coming out with, bags of merchandise.
Yes.
I don't know what to say about it. They're selling various different types and edibles and hash and whatever there is. And that, I think that is a good thing. It's fascinating. I think I'm going to throw in with Tom Likas over here that I'm a lowercase L libertarian. And I really do believe that anyone who wants drugs tonight is using them. I don't think that anyone says, I really would love to use some heroin tonight, but I'm not going to do that because it's illegal.
Right.
I don't think that that's something that was never said.
Right.
That's like, please hand me that piano.
Right.
I just don't think that comes up in conversation.
Exactly.
And with respect to my legal work and so forth, and the reason I'm bringing this up, and I'd love to hear what the callers think and so forth, but just in general, drinking and driving is a tremendous problem nationwide, and we talked about how there was this consciousness-raising thing, especially when I was younger, of Mothers Against Driving Drunk and all those sorts of things, and what it has spawned is a cottage industry where every day in a big county like Los Angeles County and in all the counties in the nation, hundreds and hundreds of people are arrested for DUI. It is a huge income center beyond imagination, hundreds of millions of dollars for the cities and the counties and so forth. And, there are classes that you have to take, there are fines you have to pay. And like Tom always said, if the government was serious about cutting around and cutting back on DUI, they would literally take your license away after one or two offenses and you would never get it back. And that's not what happens here. We have people that get DUIs again and again, and it's somewhat ridiculous at some point. I fight them all the time, very successfully, I'm proud to say. But, the thing about alcohol, whether it's rational or not, the states have put a very specific amount, it's pretty much universal, which is something that's very measurable, particularly with a blood test, but they even have this breath machine, breathalyzer, and that's 0.08. And if you're above that, then you're drunk driving. And if you're below that, then they let you go unless you're a juvenile. Juvenile, in this case, counts as anyone under 21. But the bottom line is that marijuana, fascinatingly enough, actually does not have anything like that. Did you know that, Tom?
There's
no
sense?
There's no legal threshold.
Well, but how do they even measure?
Well, that's the fascinating thing. They really have a big problem. It's much more in the conversation that they have, convincing you to give up your rights so they can search your car and
right.
find it, or to get you to admit it, or the cop smells it. Now, police are trained in the smell. Marijuana has a unique odor and so forth. And it has the same kind of thing. The cops are looking at your eyes that are bloodshot or your slurred speech. Police always want people to do the field sobriety test. And this is fascinating because, you're never going to pass the field sobriety test, no matter what. I tell people, just don't do it. Forget it.
Right.
There's no way the cop is going to say, you know what, pal, you did fine. Go ahead. Good night. There's
but
no way.
There are people walking around who smell like weed, and we all know who they are. Okay?
I don't know.
They just smell like weed. When I was in New York and I was in close proximity to strangers on the subway and strangers walking down the street, all I know is that you could tell who the pot smokers were. Now, if a cop pulls you over and you open the window and he smells your dreads and they smell like you've smoked an ounce of weed,
yeah.
Is that probable cause? I mean, does he need your permission to search the car at that point?
Well, the thing is, it's the same kind of thing. There's always a pretense. Either it's a checkpoint, for example, so that's always exciting. But a lot of times they will pull you over in the context of swerving or speeding or tinted windows, and the cop will start talking to you. And I had a really interesting one. This is something that a few people have mentioned to me recently, particularly in checkpoints, where the cops are absolutely aggressive. Absolutely aggressive. And they take the breathalyzer, and this particular guy described to me, and they literally jammed it in his mouth. I mean, they put it in front of him, and it's sort of like a straw on the end.
Right.
And they were sticking this in his mouth.
Yeah.
And he's saying, I don't want to do the breathalyzer because he heard our show. And he remembered what we taught him, and he was saying, I don't want to do it, officer. And the cop is going, yeah, yeah, sure, sure, and sticking it in his mouth, which is unbelievable. Now, he ended up blowing 0.0. because he literally had not had anything to drink at all. And the cop was not satisfied, you see. So the cop says, this is bullshit, get out of the car, and starts making him do the field sobriety test, which he didn't want to do, whatever. And he said, you know, you're on something. I can tell you're on something. And the guy responded eventually. And people get, you know, worn down. I think it's threatening to be getting messed with by a cop. And the guy said, look, I smoked a couple of puffs of a joint. The guy said that to the cop. Now, it's stupid, of course, but what's fascinating, and I've talked to, this is the interesting thing about marijuana defense, there is no threshold. So it's not like this thing with alcohol where it's 0.08. Fascinatingly enough, and I have this expert who's like this doctor of pharmacy and marijuana studies and all this very interesting stuff, but he can come and be an expert witness in court cases, and he says that even if you smoked, that doesn't mean you're impaired. You could still drive, maybe. You could be fine.
Right. Now, there is no meter. I remember, right. And I don't know if you remember this. You can look it up on YouTube, but it's fascinating. When I was a kid, there was a commercial for the gum called Clorets.
Clorets.
Clorets with chlorophyll. And it was a gum you would chew to make your breath better. And to demonstrate Clorets, they had something in the commercial. And by the way, they weren't saying, oh, it's a joke, this is irony. They were leading you to believe there was such a machine called a breathometer.
Breathometer.
A breathometer.
I like
which
that.
Looks suspiciously like a VU meter on a tape recorder. So they would show a guy biting into a raw onion. And he would blow into the breathometer, and it would, you know, pin. It would pin the meter like past 100%.
So it's just you had bad breath.
And then, you could measure it with a breathometer, and then the guy chews two Clorets, and then he blows into it, and it hardly moves. He says, "See, proof positive." And you can see that this commercial's on YouTube. You can see the kinds of lies that were told. But the point I'm making is, you know, just like there was no breathometer, I never heard of any kind of a gadget that can measure how stoned you are.
Well, this is interesting. So, you know that there are two kinds of marijuana, Tom. I don't know what a connoisseur you are. There's indicas and sativas. And the indica, the way you usually try to remember indica is like in the couch. That's when you want to rest and when you want to relax.
Uh-huh.
And a sativa is the opposite. A sativa tends to make you more alert and more talkative and so forth. So generally, if you're going to smoke marijuana during the day, let's say when you're at work, you would smoke a sativa, which gives you alertness. If you're going to smoke an indica, that's going to make you more relaxed and sedate. And in either of these cases, you know, people that smoke marijuana are perfectly fine to work, a lot of them. They're not wasted or whatever. It's also quantitative. What the police have in their arsenal, as I said, is to get you to confess, and they can also give you a blood test. Now, the blood test results that I've seen, particularly of the Los Angeles police or the Los Angeles sheriffs, are only basically going to say positive. Now, this is fascinating. When they talk about these tests, generally speaking, they talk about what are called metabolites. Now, if you smoke marijuana, Tom, several days ago, there will still be positive metabolites, which are byproducts of your liver breaking down the THC, in your blood for many days. And this depends on many factors. This depends on your health, how your liver's functioning, how your body is, how much you weigh. And so if you smoke, let's say, on Monday, and you get pulled over on Thursday, you're not going to be high anymore. You're going to be stone cold sober, assuming you haven't smoked since several days ago.
Right.
But your blood will still test positive for the metabolites.
And now, so, what happens if I'm at the Hollywood Bowl?
The bowl, eh? I thought you don't like to go to the bowl anymore.
I don't go anymore, but I went for 25 years. All right,
I tried to drag you to a show, and you said no.
I haven't, because I'm not going to the bowl right now. I'm boycotting the bowl.
Right, okay, but if you were there anyway.
Well, I was for 25 years, and you know what? They don't seem to do anything about people who smoke weed. There is...
Oh, there, okay.
Well, the minute the lights go down, by the way, for any concert, it's not the reggae concert or the Rolling Stones, it's anything, okay? The minute the lights go down... A cloud of marijuana smoke wafts down from the upper level, and you definitely can get a contact high. Now, if I'm just sitting at the Hollywood Bowl, and that cloud of smoke comes down and hits me, could I have a measurable number, or could I be test positive?
I think it's possible, Tom. You know, I've heard about people.
I think that's the defense for everybody then who tests positive. I was at the Hollywood Bowl.
There's so much.
They don't call it the Hollywood Bowl for nothing.
No, but you know that if you eat a poppy seed bagel,
right, you can test positive for heroin.
That's not a joke.
I know.
Did you know that's actually true?
Yes, I did.
It's poppy seed.
Right.
That's the basic. A byproduct, that's where heroin comes from.
Yep.
That's the fundamental root of making heroin is poppy, the poppy leaf and whatnot. So,
well, then now that you brought that up, what if I'm shooting heroin and I get pulled over?
I think that's a little more heavy.
Yeah, but how would they detect it? How would they know? Most people I know who are heroin addicts.
So you know a few?
Actually, my family was full of them.
I thought they're all dead.
Well, they are now, but the point is, you know, the fact is most people who shoot heroin, after they are addicts, they shoot heroin to appear normal. In other words, they get abnormal when they're not shooting heroin.
Yes, that's right. That's
so when
they
shoot heroin, they are functioning members of society for that period of time as long as they've got heroin.
That's a tragedy, but for them to be normal, they need to use the drugs just to sort of be on the flat line.
By the way, I'm not kidding. For anyone listening, you think I'm just taking this lightly. On the contrary, there were heroin addicts in my family, and I saw this. Shooting heroin made them normal. When they couldn't get heroin, they'd start scratching their arms and start shaking and twitching. So you're more likely to look suspicious if you're a heroin addict who can't get heroin.
Well, the bottom line is, and it's true for the other ones, and I've seen the tests, they do the metabolite tests. And the person, literally, they do a spectrum where the person is positive or negative for heroin, MDMA, marijuana, PCP, whatever the hell else there is in life, cocaine. What's fascinating, I think, is that if they search your car, which they often do incident to an arrest and so forth, they're not finding any marijuana in particular, or even if they do, particularly marijuana. Don't forget, heroin's still quite illegal. But if you have marijuana that you've purchased and you have a card, you're allowed to have that, and you're allowed to have it in your car.
So, and what if I'm thinking I need to smoke some before I drive because my glaucoma's acting up?
That's a very interesting possibility. And I have a couple of marijuana cases that are presently pending, and I sat down with the prosecutor and said, look, you should drop this case because the guy has whatever, you know, back problems or glaucoma, et cetera, and they will not. They want them to plead guilty, not to DUI, but they call DWI, which is driving while impaired. And as I said, this expert that I found, the marijuana guy, and this guy is something else. He's been doing it forever. Really an expert in marijuana cultivation and the principles of chemicals and everything. And he says, why are we admitting that the guy is impaired? He's not impaired. The fact that he has some marijuana in his system that he may have smoked a week ago, but whether he did or he didn't, if he's driving, it's no big deal necessarily. So that's a very interesting question. A lot of the DUI cases, I find, are very bizarre, where people drive into trees and they drive off the road because they're fucked up on booze. You know, they're not just like drinking, you know, socially. They're highly intoxicated. A lot of people binge drink to pass out and so forth. But like you talk about, I wonder, I'm trying to remember if it was your uncles, or I remember who it was that was the heroin addicts.
Cousins. My cousins, yeah.
I remember your New York three brothers, as I recall.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, I know they're all deceased, but like if one of those guys, as you say, just to be his normal self and to function in normal life as a regular person, needs to use heroin, I don't know how impaired he is. Maybe he's not impaired at all, actually. When he's driving down the street or he's living his life or whatever he's doing, if he has his heroin, he's A-OK. His problem is going to be if he falls below. That's the danger that he has, where he's going to have some heavy-duty withdrawal symptoms or whatever.
Wow. Now, on another note, which is not drugs, we've got calls coming in about drugs, but there's another issue that came up this week.
I'm afraid to hear.
Well, I want to ask you about it. It involves driving, but it's a whole different subject, and that is these laws they've made against texting and driving.
Yeah, well, that's the same thing. That's the same kind of impairment thing.
But here's what's happening. People know what texting is. And in fact, they have these Caltrans signs on the freeway telling you not to text.
Yeah.
You're going to get a fine.
You'll
okay,
be sorry.
Fine. But I saw a case recently of a guy who was not texting. He was using his phone as GPS.
Right.
He wasn't typing.
Right.
He wasn't communicating. And he went to court because he got a ticket for texting.
Even worse, he appealed it.
And won.
Right.
And he won.
That's right.
So now, what is the reality of that law?
Well, I think that, unfortunately, you have this overzealousness where this happened. And I remember this time. You and I talked about this at the time. This was good old Governor Schwarzenegger. And
this is recent.
No, I know the case. But originally, it was illegal to talk on your cell phone and drive in like New York and Florida, but it was still legal in California. And I remember it was Governor Schwarzenegger, and I remember you were on terrestrial radio, and you said, "Thanks a lot, Schwarzenegger. You gave the police another reason to go through my glove compartment
and turn
me over and hassle me."
Exactly right.
And the bottom line is that it's not a points ticket, but it is a ticket. It's expensive. And, you know, once the state gets these revenue streams, they don't want to fool around with those.
And by the way, for me, the biggest thing, I don't have 30 minutes to sit around and wait for them to run my license and run my plate and keep me sitting there. I just don't have time for that.
You gotta shut up and take it, Tom.
You ever say to a cop, just give me the ticket?
Right? Oh, that is not a good idea.
I know. Well, I wouldn't say it, but that's what I'm thinking. All right, you got me. Just give me the fucking ticket.
No, shut up.
I never say that, but the point is,
bite
it's in my head.
There, yeah.
No, but what I'm saying
is... I know.
Is,
why are you making me suffer? And
why are you
humiliating
making
me?
What is the purpose of this? Because I was trying to find Panorama City on my phone, and now I'm going to get a texting. Just give me the fucking ticket.
I think that it's kind of what they do to you at the airport. It's something George Carlin talked about, that basically they want you to know that they can fuck with you anytime they want.
Right.
So that's what it really is.
Right.
So you're Mr. Busy, and he knows what you are. He's looking at you driving an expensive car or whatever. He looks at your address. You live in Beverly Hills or the Hollywood Hills or whatever. And he's telling you, you know what, asshole? I'm going to make you sit here for 30 minutes, and I don't give a fuck if you're going to be late.
Right.
The problem is that we shouldn't be doing that in our society, and we shouldn't be exhausting everyone. I have to tell you, Tom, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the police have been told to some degree to lay off of a lot of the cell phone stuff. I see a lot of examples of people driving, talking on cell phones, and cops are not actively pulling people over for this. Texting is just the extension of that. The original thing that I thought, and I read the law, it's actually quite much more restrictive, but I thought what they were saying essentially was to hold the phone to your face. That was the problem. And it's not. It's any kind of in-your-hand distraction. So like this person
So how about a $5 footlong?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
You ever see people eating and driving?
That's okay, technically.
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't know. It's supposed to be an electronic device.
Anytime you get a Subway sandwich, you get those lettuce leaves falling out and stuff.
I see women putting on makeup while they drive, okay?
Right.
Changing the angle of the mirror so that they can look at themselves instead of the cars. All right. Well, anyway, if you're holding it in your hand and you're texting or you're GPSing or you're running the dating app, I think you're doing distracted driving, and unfortunately that is a serious ticket. You know, one of the problems
But isn't
is,
it more distracted to be driving around in circles, lost, not knowing where you are, making wrong turns?
Listen, you don't have to convince me, Tom.
I know, I'm just saying.
The problem is, and
this
I mean...
This is just another stupid law.
You have to look at the realities. They sit there in their ivory towers with the statistics, and they're showing that more and more and more car accidents are with people that are texting, or people that are screwing around with their phones, or people that are on the phone. Remember when cell phones became ubiquitous, you know, when people had car phones, you know, that was something that didn't exist before. And so then it started happening, and people having accidents all over the place.
Right.
And so, you know, they start to say, okay, we gotta do something about this. We gotta get tough. So it's the same issue. I mean, don't forget that, you know, marijuana and heroin was legal at one time. Cocaine was legal at one time. These were considered up and coming drugs.
They should be legal again.
Well, the reason that they were made illegal was because people were afraid of the harm. That was the problem.
Right.
And there are even political reasons with marijuana that the companies that were making paper were afraid of hemp.
Right.
Because hemp was a way of creating a strong rope and paper and other products, and they didn't want to compete with that. You know, there's cocaine in Coca-Cola. Why is it called Coca-Cola, Tom? Because of coca leaf.
Right.
That's where cocaine comes from. And so originally when you drank Coca-Cola, it was to keep you awake.
Right. And it literally had cocaine in it.
It still does.
Not to the extent that it did.
I know. It used to be really strong.
They had to cut that back.
They sure did. But they had the only license in America to import the coca leaf.
It was the original energy drink.
That's right.
No doubt.
That's no caffeine, baby.
We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back with Attorney Adam Sachs answering your legal questions. And we've got people on the line already if you've got questions. And it doesn't have to be drugs, but we do have some drug questions coming up. But you might have questions about who knows what, drunk driving. Maybe you've been accused of committing a crime you didn't commit. Maybe you did commit the crime, but you don't want to do the time. We'll talk to you, too. Here's the phone number, 901-3000-TOM. That's our number, 901-3000-TOM. I told you guys, don't wait till the end of the hour. This is your chance right here, 901-3000-866.
So, how do you like our little internet project now? 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Summer's here, and it's a great time to enjoy a new car. And our friends at Spring Honda are fully stocked to make it easy for you to drive off in one of the most reliable rides on the road. Hondas, you know how I feel about them. I've had great experiences owning many of them, and I highly recommend them for their value and reliability. And face it, they can be fun cars to drive. Check out their selection and great prices at ScreenHonda.com. That's SPREEN Honda.com. You can drop by Spreen's huge dealership in Loma Linda or give them a call at 909-799-7070. Spreen Honda, they also have a huge selection of quality, affordable used cars of all major brands. It's all right there at Spreen Honda, just off the 10 in Loma Linda, about 30 to 40 minutes from most parts of L.A. and O.C. Call or drop by today. And do tell Jeff Spreen and his great staff that we sent you. It's 909-799-7070. Spreen Honda. SPREEN at SpreenHonda.com.
If you missed the Gary and Dino show number 517, it went a little something like this.
The man with the 132-pound scrotum.
She's eating a meat sandwich, and she looks like she's about to gag on a cob.
And by the way, he was crapping through a tube and everything.
Jesus Christ, I have not heard the word nut sack so much since the night I got married.
Dog balls.
I'm perking off.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking all about me and all about nut sack.
The ass wiping and the farting.
Yeah.
And then you guys keep doing it.
Basically, when we take shit and we make it into shit, but just more nice, tolerable, and edible shit.
Go to GaryAndDino.com.
Boys, let's talk about allure detail. Now, look, we all know a car is a big investment, but you got to maintain it properly in order to keep its value. With today's high-tech paint finishes and special upholstery, do-it-yourself products just don't cut it. There's a long list of forces constantly at work to permanently destroy your car's exterior. And what about the interior? Stains, dirt, and smells should all be dealt with immediately. This is where you leave it to the pros. And Allure Detail does it all, including engine cleaning, tar removal, carpet and upholstery shampooing, leather treatment, and more. And they offer additional services like windshield and wheel scuff repair, even paintless dent repair. Best of all, Allure Detail will come to you, like they do for me, at your home or office. That's right, professional detailers at your door. And right now, Likas listeners who schedule an interior detail get a free ozone treatment that kills all the bacteria and germs that can be growing in your car. It's our friends at Allure Detail. Go see pictures of their work on our site, Allure Detail, at AllureDetail.com.
Hammer time.
Well, Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank,
a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. And your calls at 901-3000-TOM. The number is 901-3000-866. Tim in Dana Point, California. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam. Hello.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'm hoping you can help me figure out how to defend myself for some nonsense I ran into back last December. I was leaving a parking lot, and the cop made a beeline and pulled me over. Unbeknownst to me, my license had been suspended for 2 days. The guy smelled weed and pulled me out of my car and all my friends, and he found bags, a lot of individual small bags and a scale of weed. Under an ounce, though. And then they proceeded to write up. I got a felony possession of burglary tools for what was a hacksaw, a tire iron, and a hammer, and two counts.
Hey, I have a tire iron in my car. Wait a minute.
And a hammer and a hacksaw.
Yes, sir.
what is all this, man? What's going on?
They're all felonies, man. They put
I know that, but I mean, what's going on with you? Why do you have hacksaws and scales and all this other shit in your car, man? What are you up to?
I got a lot of shit up in the car, man. You know, I've got a lot of odd jobs and stuff. I've been underemployed. Right now I have a lot of tools in my car.
Okay. What about the all the bags of marijuana and so forth?
Right. Well, I am guilty. I did deal drugs for a short period of time, and it wasn't just weed, but I did get caught in weed. And in my opinion, they don't have any evidence of me selling. They have, what could be considered drug dealing tools. But, I don't have money to really get a real lawyer.
Oh, really?
I'm trying to figure out how to approach this,
All right. Well, if it's felonies, you could be facing very significant prison time. I mean, can you really afford to go to jail for years and years?
No.
And if you don't hire a lawyer, you're going to end up with a public defender. And that's really a shame. They're just going to want you to plead guilty, basically.
Yeah. Well, see, I've had, pre-trial, and I've had to come back, three or four times already.
Yeah.
And the public defender, she acts as though...
A lady lawyer.
Right.
Okay. Listen, it's really a shame, okay? And I really don't recommend being a drug dealer as a career, okay?
I'm done with it, I promise you.
I'm glad to hear that, but the problem is that, the fact that you had it separated into plastic bags and the fact that you had a scale, that shows that you were involved in the business, You were distributing it or you were cutting it up or whatever you were doing. I'm glad it's marijuana, not cocaine or something, but it's still a very serious offense. And once they started digging into your stuff and they went through your car, when they found these different hammers and whatnot, they said you had burglary tools. So that implies that you were also involved in some kind of stealing and whatnot. So you really need a lawyer to go over the whole thing and an investigator in a way of, taking apart the evidence and fighting back. You're going to have to get private counsel. It's a big mistake to use the public defender, especially in a serious case like this. And you have to really ask yourself, what is your freedom worth? I mean, seriously, if you spend 5 years in jail, what is that going to cost you in terms of opportunities in life and missed work and, losing the connections to your friends and your community and so forth? And I would say that's probably priceless. So when you say, in advance, I don't think I can hire a lawyer, I'm going with some woman public defender, dude, that's irrational.
Okay. I've been trying to work and earn money. What way should I go to try to acquire counsel then?
Well, obviously,
I really at the moment don't have money.
Well, then you're going to have to talk to your family. You're going to have to borrow some money from your parents or your brothers and sisters or something. And by the way, it's not appropriate for you to be broke. Being broke is not a good thing. And you have to start thinking about things that Tom talks about. Where you start saving money, you start building some equity in your life, looking forward in the future to owning a house or whatever you're into, having stocks, going on trips. it's really a shame for you to say what you're saying. You essentially done what Tom talks about, where you've had a crisis in your life, which is being arrested, and you have an urgent financial need, which is needing to hire a lawyer, and you don't have anything put aside for an emergency, and that's a real shame. And you can't be that person. It's really a shame. It puts you in a very vulnerable position. And I'd be happy to help you. I'd give you, you know, discounts. I'd give you payments. But no lawyer of any quality is going to do it for free. You know, that's a shame.
Right. Well, I agree with you 100%. It's not that I don't agree. You know, I needed someone to tell me that, I guess.
All right.
You know, if you want, I'll put you on hold. I'll put you in touch with Adam. Does that work for you?
I don't mind talking to you.
Yeah, that'll be great then. That'll help.
Hang on. Dean will get your information, put you in touch with Adam. 901-3000 Tom, that's our telephone number. Here is Dan in Pasadena. Dan, you're on the Tom Likas Show, a bonus hour with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Good afternoon. I would just like to ask Adam a quick question.
Sure.
About a subject a friend of mine we're having a big debate about. He's one of these kind of guys who thinks the law enforcement community is his friend. He's always going out of his way to, you know, kiss the cops' asses and stuff like that. But my question is what do you do when cops show up at your door and you're like a homeowner or you rent an apartment and no one called the cops? They're just there fishing. I mean, there's no domestic issues or anything like that.
No, that they don't. This is still not the Soviet Union. I mean, they don't just show up at your door for no reason. You know, this is America still. You know, again, this is, and I'm glad you're not getting pulled over there with burglary tools or whatever. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, broadly speaking, I don't think that the police are evil. I think that they have a job that they have to do, which is actually very difficult. And they are trying, generally speaking, to seek justice. People say that the police plant evidence and so forth. I think that that's extremely unusual to happen. But at the same time, the police need a lot of times for the person to hurt themselves, to self-implicate. And so when the police come to your door and they say, may we come in, you know, these are not your friends. These are not your buddies. They may be behaving very nicely, which is good, but these are the guys that are going to be testifying against you. And by allowing them into your house, they are surveying, you know, everything around. They're looking at things. They're making mental notes. They're looking at things that are out of place, and they're preparing a case against you. And, you know, generally speaking, they don't just come to your door. You have a neighbor who called the police because you have loud music, or someone that smelled marijuana, or someone that heard screams, you know, domestic fight, or someone who's reporting you to child services that they think your kids are being abused. And the problem is, and this is something that Tom and I always talk about from Tom's past, being arrested in Boston, is that that 911 call sets a ball rolling down a hill. And very often, it's going to cost you a lot of grief to make it stop. People think that once you let the genie out of the bottle, you can put him back in, but you can't. And so when your neighbor or your girlfriend calls the cops, and it's very common if you fight with a girlfriend, that she wants to call the cops and have them, you know, kind of wag their finger in your nose, and you're going to start being a good boy. But what ends up happening is that they arrest you. And now there's charges pending. The charges can't be dropped. You need a defense attorney, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of guys would have been okay and would never have gone to jail if they had only shut up. And so you have to recognize that when the cop says to you, you've been drinking, and you say, a couple of beers, man, you just confessed. You just confessed to a law enforcement officer who's going to not lie. He's going to sit on the stand and he's going to say, Mr. Jones told me that he had consumed two beers. And that's what a couple of beers means. And in fact, that's already over the legal limit, because the legal limit is only one beer, 0.08. And so two beers is over the limit, so you've just admitted to driving drunk. I mean, that is incredibly stupid. So if the police are at your door, it's very appropriate to literally greet them in the doorway, or to come out of the place, in the hallway or in the porch, and say, good evening, officers. Everything's fine here, and good night. That's it. Yeah. If you're acting in a normal demeanor, you're not going to have a problem. And by the way, I hate to even mention this, Mr. Likas over there giving me the smile here, with that crazy guy Elliot Roger, the shooter in Santa Barbara, I mean, that is exactly what happened. People don't recognize this. There's a lot of criticism now of the Santa Barbara police, and they're saying they should have done more or something like that. But essentially, they were called by his parents and some kind of a wellness check. They went to his residence, and he answered the door, and he seemed cool, calm, and collected. He didn't have any needles hanging out of his arm. He didn't look strange, and he talked to the police, and he said, "I'm fine. Oh, my crazy parents worry too much," and that's about it. We don't have a society, and I'm glad we don't, where the police can fuck with you. And so what you're describing, I mean, it's not bad in itself that your friend, you know, likes the police or he admires the police or he listens to their shit on the police scanners or whatever. That's okay. And I don't think it's bad to respect police and so forth. But you just have to recognize that the things that they're going to do in order to get convictions, particularly against you, may not necessarily be in your favor and may not seem fair and may be manipulative. I gave the example in the show a few minutes ago that this guy was in a pullover at a checkpoint, and the police officer said, "I want you to do the breathalyzer," which he does not have the right to force you to do. And this guy said, "I do not want to do it." He said it multiple times, and the cop practically forced it in his face. That is not appropriate, but it is a coercive thing. And you know, when someone with a gun and a badge and authority of law is telling you, "You've got to do this, come on, just do it, just shut up and do it," you know, a lot of people, rather than make waves, will try to comply. And unfortunately, very often you may be giving them just the evidence they need to arrest you, which you wouldn't want, right?
Yeah. I have a question, though. Do you think that a lot of these cop shows, like Law and Order and Hawaii Five-0, whatever these shows show police officers on, that a lot of the parts of plots have to deal with the suspects letting the cops in?
Yeah.
And a lot of people see that, and they think it's normal to just, "Oh, they're cops, let them in." And that just, a lot of people get, get brainwashed into thinking that, oh, you have rights about your own property, and you don't have to let anyone, if you haven't done anything wrong, let anyone search through your stuff.
All I can say is that, you know, there's this psychology that police will say to you, and they'll say, you know, "What do you have to hide? You have nothing to hide," you know. And right away people say, "Yeah, that's true," and they sign their right and they give the police the right to search their house. Okay? If people are looking for things, they're going to find them. Okay?
Yeah.
Just like an interpretation, like the guy that called before, that he had a hacksaw in his car, or he had a tire wrench in his car, or what was it? What did he have? He had the thing you said you
hacksaw,
had.
Hacksaw, a hammer, and a tire iron.
A tire iron, right. So, you know, Tom Likas has a tire iron in his car. That don't mean anything except in the context of this guy, that he had drug paraphernalia or drugs or whatever, so now all of a sudden those things are burglary tools, okay? You may have things lying around your house that don't mean anything to you and that aren't really very relevant, but why would you expose law enforcement to the interior of the privacy of your house?
That's what I was thinking.
What? Are you going to let cops in your house, Tom?
The only cops I let in my house, I have a cop who's a friend of mine.
All right.
Who I know and I've known for a long time.
Off duty, okay?
No, he's on duty.
No, but he's off duty in your house.
In my house.
He's not coming to arrest you, okay?
No, he's not. But other than that, no.
I got nothing wrong.
Do you have to answer the door if the cops come to the door?
No.
I mean, maybe that's the best way to handle it, is just not to even open the door.
You know, it's the same with people talking about process servers and so forth. I mean, this is you know, like the mailman. I mean, it rings your doorbell, you don't answer the fucking door. I don't know what. I mean, you know, if they're coming to arrest you, they may break the door down or whatever. If they have a SWAT team,
right.
They have a warrant or whatever.
Yes.
But that's sort of, isn't that, I mean, you were saying you were picking these things up from television or whatever, but isn't that a classic comment in television? The guy says, "Hey, if you want to come into my house, you better come back with a warrant."
I know, right. They said that on Dragnet all the time.
There you go. Yeah. I like that show.
Yeah. All right, Dan, thank you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll tell you how to get in touch with Adam. And we have another call coming up as well. It's all coming up on this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Our number, 901-3000-866.
So,
How do you like our little internet project now?
901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
One of the most important decisions you're going to make in your life is what to study in college. Only problem is that most of you were brought up by single moms who fed you some bullshit that you can just follow your heart and the money will follow. Now you hear on the news about all the college graduates who can't find jobs. Unemployment is over 8%. Unemployment for people between 16 and 34 is 18%. You can't afford to piss away $100,000 in tuition, let alone 4 years of your youth on a worthless degree. That's why you need to get the book Worthless by Aaron Clary. If you're going to college or thinking about going to college, this is invaluable information. Worthless breaks down all the different degrees, their starting salaries, why some are worthwhile, and why others are literally worthless. And girls, this book is especially for you. Don't be that fool who majors in women's studies or communications and then expects the rest of us to carry your ass through life. Be smart. Buy Worthless. It's only $5 on Kindle and $13 in paperback, and it could change the course of your life. Worthless. It may prove to be a better investment than college itself. Find it on Amazon right now. Worthless.
Do you have tiny balls? You know, you once had big balls, but things started changing around you. First television, then your favorite radio station. It all became so vaginized that slowly but surely, your balls just started to wither away. Well, don't worry. You're not alone. Up to 98% of men suffer from tiny ball syndrome. That's right, TBS. But now, there's hope. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend New Normal Rock. New Normal Rock, just by removing ballads, broads, and bullshit from your hard rock diet, will help you grow your balls back and get you back to that big, bald lifestyle you deserve. New Normal Rock. Newer, faster, harder rock for big, healthy balls. Ask your doctor.
New Normal Rock.
You guys remember Dr. Robert Armani, right? He's the chiropractor who gave Adam Sachs an adjustment right here in the studio. Well, as you know, Dr. Armani is a P1, a good friend of our show, and has always been incredibly supportive. But what you probably don't know is that he specializes in injuries, including personal injury and workers' compensation cases. So if you've been injured in any way, your neck, back, hip, knee, shoulder, you name it, Dr. Armani will work hand-in-hand with the attorney handling your case and get you fixed up. Whether you need physical therapy, rehabilitating exercises, or chiropractic adjustments, Dr. Armani has the most advanced equipment to treat your pain and injuries at any of his 3 L.A. area offices. Visit ArmaniChiropractic.com today. That's ArmaniChiropractic.com. Our friend Dr. Robert Armani at ArmaniChiropractic.com.
Hammer time.
The Tom Likas Show is a bonus hour with criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me, of course, toll free. 1-800-340-7320. Well, that's 1-800-340-7320. You can email me, adam@adamlawyer.com, and check out my website at www.adamlawyer.com.
Ron in Portland, Oregon, home of the other white meat. You're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs.
Oh,
hello.
Dear.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Ron.
Hey, Ron, don't be sad about what he said about Portland.
He knows it's true.
Anyway, I got a good story about using a public defender.
Okay. It worked out for you?
No. Well, I didn't really use one. When I turned 21, some friends of mine were going to play softball and said, do you want to go? And they said, well, you just turned 21. Let's get some beer. So we got some beer. Then we got pulled over in a speed trap. We'd already had a couple beers open. So they're giving me a ticket for contributing liquor to minors. So,
oh, right, your friends.
That went down. So then my mom knew a lawyer, a good lawyer, and went to talk to him, and he told me what to say, and he goes, it's your first offense. You really, you know, don't have a problem. Just explain to the judge that, you know, what you're doing and stuff like that. So anyway, I went to the courthouse, and the guy I got busted with, he had a public defender. So the public defender said, well, we can just all go up together, which is wrong, right?
Right.
So went up there, and the judge asked me, well, how many liquor offenses did you have? Have you had? I said, this is my first one. He goes, okay. So then he asked the other guy, how many liquor offenses have you had? He goes, well, this is my third one. So he said, well, 30 days in jail or $2,500 bail. So anyway, my mom bailed me out right away, so I didn't have to go to jail. I just was in the holding tank. Then we hired a real lawyer, went back, and I got off.
Oh, thank God for that.
But that's that they shouldn't do that. Put two people up at the same time.
Well, I mean, it depends on, you know, strategies and so forth. But I also think generally that, you know, public defender doesn't really have any skin in the game. And you see how they basically just want it over quick. So they are saying to you and your friend, okay, we'll just do it. Come on, you know, both at the same time. Let's go. Chop, chop, you know? I mean, they're not really sitting there.
Yeah, the deal's already done, right?
Well, the idea when you have a private counsel, you know, I'm doing research, I'm figuring it out, I'm checking out the law, I'm preparing, I'm challenging the evidence, I'm challenging some of the other things that have happened, and the public defender is sort of the opposite. He just wants it over quickly. So it seems to me that, you know, you end up getting what you pay for. Listen, it's free for a reason. You understand? I mean, seriously. It's meant to be giving some kind of fairness to people that have impoverished circumstances, and you know it's not fair for them not to have any lawyer. But I mean, when people tell me, oh, you know, I don't know if you heard this other gentleman calling. He's got multiple felonies and he's facing years and years in jail, and he's essentially cheaping out on himself. He's saying, you know, oh, I don't have any money. I'm going to have to go with a public defender. It's like, yeah, really? Can you afford to be found guilty and to go to prison? I mean, that's unbelievable. And the tragedy is, and I see these guys, and a lot of guys write me letters from prison and so forth, and it's like they all figure it out when it's too late. You know, after they're convicted and they're in jail and they're sitting there and they can't believe it, I get a letter from this guy and he tells me, I've been sentenced to 12 years. What a mistake I made. I should have used a private counsel. I used a public defender. I don't believe it. What do I do now? And that's, you know, that's after the trial and after it's really, you know, pretty much a closed book in a lot of ways.
Do you agree with the phrase, you only get the justice you pay for?
I hate to say it, Tom, but this is a fucked society.
That's how I feel. And that's why I've always had attorneys, because you do get what you pay for.
I mean, you know, there's a difference. You know, obviously, you know, the Don Sterlings of the world, when they get divorced, are going to pay, you know, $2,000 an hour or whatever it is for, you know, these one of these ridiculous attorneys to break up their billions of dollars in assets. But at the same time, there is a scale. There are guys, you know, in different ranges, and certainly in a range of an attorney such as myself that a more average person could afford. I mean, if you think about it, what's the circumstances? Now, I just talked to a lady today who should have gone to family court with me or someone like me and gotten things all worked out, and she never did. And so now she claimed her child on her taxes, and so did her ex-boyfriend. And so now they've both been audited. And she just got a bill from the IRS for $38,000. And she wants to kill herself because she doesn't know how she's ever going to pay it. And the bottom line is, if she had spent, I don't know, $2,000 or $3,000 on a lawyer, she could have saved herself $38,000. That's the point.
Ron, thank you for the call. Once again, how can people get in touch with you, Ed?
Toll free, 1-800-340-7320. 1-800-340-7320, and I answer my phone.
We like that. All right, Adam is here every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Over 700,000 tune-ins every month. Don't fuck with us. 901-3000-TOM. This is
the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for guys. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
And here you go.
We're brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's Beer Magazine. Seattle police investigating a report of a drone peeping into a woman's apartment.
This is pretty genius.
You know this is going to happen like nonstop.
By the way, this should not stop ownership of drones, because I kind of like these things.
Dude, they 60 Minutes just did a piece on Sunday about the drones, and there's no stopping this thing. It's going to be nuts.
It's incredible. You can, for basic investment of about $500-$600, and then another, like, maybe $180 for a GoPro video,
yeah.
You could do
it. Sure, any tard can do it.
Any tard could do it.
Yeah.
How?
And there are no laws right now. There are just no laws governing this.
And they're going to have a real tough time making laws against it.
Yeah, because the cat's out of the bag already. It's going to get so far ahead of the game that there's no pulling it back.
But you mark my words. We are just moments away from, like, TMZ style you know, websites and stuff that want to get a closer look at different celebrities. Hey. And all of a sudden they'll be flying a drone up against the winders.
Exactly.
Oh.
A former gymnastics coach, when you hear those words, what do you think?
Automatic.
Apparently pled guilty to enticing a minor to meet for sex in Plano, Texas. Our friend Lindsey Ryan Cox. Your
no.
Name, your name is your destiny.
Negative Ghost Rider.
A dude trying to entice a 14-year-old boy.
Oh.
Just saying.
Wow.
Yeah.
He enticed me.
Two junior hockey players accused of taping sex with a 15-year-old and then sending it around to their friends.
Oh my God.
These two are as white as white gets.
And they are as dumb gets, because now they are distributing child porn. That's what it comes out to.
Yeah. I think this is Nebraska, and they you know,
the town is called
15-year-old kid
Moorhead.
Right, Moorhead. Your town's name is your destiny.
Moorhead. charges were filed against these two, both of whom are players with the Lincoln Stars junior hockey team.
Yes.
The girl told her mother that she had sex with the dude at the Days Inn in Moorhead on Valentine's Day. Good stuff.
Right. A Houston man is accused of taking nude photos of a girl from ages 11 through 15. 11 through 15.
Mm. I wonder why he stopped at 15.
Because he got nailed.
Oh.
Apparently, the mother at age 11 caught the girl sending a nude photo to somebody she knows and chastised her, and apparently went to one of her friends and told this guy about the story of her daughter sending a nude picture. The friend then approached the daughter and said, here's how you do it.
Wow.
And then helped her take nude photos and decided to take some himself.
You know, here's the thing, though. He said that he was building her dumpy girl's self-confidence.
Yes.
That is really, I mean, wow.
Apparently she needed more self-confidence in taking the pictures. He was right there to help her out.
He was.
Yes. The chief of staff, your job is, the job's name is your destiny, to the Ohio GOP Representative Steve Stivers has resigned.
Why?
After a former porn actress posted an explicit photo of him online.
Oh.
Apparently our friend, who is an aide,
yes,
used to be banging a porn star who he broke up with.
Oh.
The porn star then went online and said that she hated him and that he was a pompous asshole.
Yes.
And then posted a dick pic of him.
Right. Plus his full name.
Plus his full name.
And then she said, now we're
now
even.
Now we're even. How about that?
In the direct, a reporter in this story reached out to the girl, and she said that she just wanted to teach the pompous ass a lesson. And she did call herself a disgruntled former girlfriend.
Yes, exactly. Finally, a pig alert for you. Venus Williams is among the celebrities in ESPN's magazine body issue. And I'm going to say that this is a massively, massively touched up picture because you've seen Venus Williams on the beach.
Yes, on the beach.
Right. And, you know, when the pictures are not photoshopped, you see what's going on.
Right.
That's an interesting noise.
No, that was just to alert everybody that yeah, is a Photoshop
warning.
It's been Photoshopped.
There's plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary's Dino.
You better believe it, baby.
Beep.
Be sure to check out the podcast. We are live this coming Thursday night, 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on the stream, blowmeuptom.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We are back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Devin Bronson is back with us to talk about the black box, but this time, instead of him talking about it or my talking about it, many P1 listeners like you have been writing to Devin and the folks at BN Audio to tell them how happy they are with the black box. What are people saying?
Yeah, the email response has been great, and I wanted to share a few of those with you today. One was from Robert in Escondido. He wrote, "After plugging my iPod into the black box, my ears were very pleased. Thank you for a great product and exceptional service." We love that. Next was Stephen Kurtz, wrote us, "My neighbors hate me now." That was good.
That's how you know it's good.
Yep, he's using it. Next was from Matt Hardy in Maui, out in Hawaii. He bought three of these from us. He wrote, "I am blown away. I cannot believe the sound that came out of such a small box."
Now, this is very exciting. If someone listening now has been turned on by hearing what other P1s are saying, how do they get a black box?
They can go to our website. It's bnaudio.com, and they can enter the promo code Tom in their checkout and get 20% off.
Don't take my word for it. Take the word of other satisfied P1 listeners. People are buying that black box like crazy. Just go to bnaudio.com, enter the promo code Tom, and get 20% off. You're going to love the black box.
This is the new normal.